Tomorrow afternoon, the Senate Homeland Security Committee holds a hearing on efforts to attract and retain the best and the brightest to the federal workforce. It's the latest in a series of oversight hearings conducted by the panel focusing on a variety of human resource issues. Recently, a panel also looked at the issue of how to train the next generation of federal agency managers. And Federal News Radio's Max Kakis has been monitoring that hearing. He joins us right here, right now, live with the latest. Max.
Well, Chris, as we've reported before, the care and feeding of the federal workforce has been a longtime concern of Hawaii Senator Dania Kaha, who chairs the Senate Subcommittee on Government Management and the Federal Workforce. That's part of the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee. His hearing on training and mentor programs addresses legislation that he has introduced on the topic of training new federal managers.
My Federal Supervisor Training Act would require each federal agency to provide mandatory training to new supervisors and retraining every 3 years. The bill would require training on topics including setting employee performance goals, mentoring and motivating employees, fostering a fair and respectful work environment, addressing poor performance, employee whistleblower non-discrimination, other rights and protections, and other important topics. Supervisor training promotes better manager-employee relationships, improves communication, reduces conflict, and otherwise helps supervisors do their jobs better. And better supervisor performance leads to a more effective government.
Nancy Kichak, Associate Director and Chief Human Capital Officer with the Office of Personnel Management, says her agency is currently developing plans as part of its broader goal of reforming the federal hiring process to redefine training and mentoring programs for prospective federal managers.
I think that there should be training in dealing with diverse populations and building a workforce that is inclusive and welcomes diversity. It should be a major part of management training because there are different cultures and there are different responses to different cultures, and managers need to be aware of that. We're also working right now at OPM on building a strategic plan for improving the diversity in the federal workforce. A large part of that strategic plan will be enhancing training. We are developing that strategic plan with an interagency task force, and we expect that to be out soon. And then we'll start implementing some of those provisions, again, with a major training emphasis.
Merrill E. Fitzgerald, Acting Deputy Secretary of Defense for Civilian Personnel Policy, told the subcommittee about the Pentagon's work in the area of improving training and opportunities for those aspiring to jobs as supervisors in DOD.
For example, the Secretary of Defense has created the Civilian Expeditionary Workforce, which will provide deployable civilian expertise to support efforts in Afghanistan, Iraq, and other contingencies. A parallel effort is underway to synchronize civilian and military leadership training with the goals of ensuring common professional training and education between our senior executives and flag officers, increasing joint capability for our senior executives. The department has achieved much progress in reorienting its civilian leadership capabilities. We have adopted a leadership framework and published policy that requires that leaders be developed in over 20 different competencies that are found critical for success in leadership positions. These include the development of interpersonal skills, supervising others, and providing meaningful performance feedback. Yet, we can always improve. Supervisory proficiency is critical to individual and organizational performance, as well as employee motivation, engagement, and retention.
So, Max, this is a big issue for right now because
sure.
There's this glut of folks, whether it's a retirement tsunami or it's... they're going to retire at some point, and you need people who are going to be able to be in government.
Yeah, and you know, the interesting thing about that, Chris, is that it depending on which day of the week it is, you either find people who find this a question of a very urgent import,
yeah.
or it's not as urgent as it once was. It's still out there. I mean,
yeah,
it's going to happen one way or another. The statistics don't lie. There are that many feds who are in the pipeline to retire very, very soon.
And last week we talked to the CIO Council folks about their, they pulled together all this rich data, and you can see the chart of where people are, and there's, the federal government just didn't hire people for a big chunk of time, and you can see it. Sure. It's just clear, crystal clear.
Yeah.
So they're thinking about this. Mm-hmm. Did you get a sense from the hearing that, it seems like we talk about this all the time, but not much has changed?
Yeah, well, there seems to be an urgency among, as I said, there's an urgency among people like Senator Akaka and the ranking member of the subcommittee, Senator Voinovich, who's both of whom have been, they've been laboring out in the vineyards for many, many years on this issue. Nancy Kichak with OPM, the labor unions, Colleen Kelly, and Mr. Cox from AFGE, Colleen Kelly from NTEU, all of them kind of understand this, but it's coming up with the right set of plans for this. In some cases, you get programs or legislation like Senator Akaka's that focus on one part of the problem. Senator Akaka, in this case, talking about the direct training of people who want to be federal managers, but it's more of the overall goal of what John Berry at OPM has said before: incentives to try to get people into the federal workplace, making federal service cool once again. So you've got a lot. This is, as you pointed out, it's a big challenge, and it's kind of hard to grab the whole thing. You sort of have to grab one part at a time here, and that seems to be the approach. It's probably too big to try to grab all at once.
And so they seem to be doing it piece by piece, and we're hearing that OPM, as soon as next week, will unveil their reform plans, at least in some form or fashion.
The strategic plan, which they've been working on for about 6 months now, in earnest. Once Director Berry made it a priority that they would come up with the strategic plan, a lot of people are expecting this, because this is going to shape. And it's all stuff, by the way, that they can do without the formal imprimatur of Congress.
Without right away. Legislative
That's right.
action.
Yeah. Without legislative action. This falls into the jurisdiction of things that they can do within the president's executive authority. This is going to define how people are hired and managed in the federal workforce for many, many years to come. And for the most part, the hope is, at least out of this subcommittee, that there will be a piece in here about how you train managers. Because as Colleen Kelly from NTEU pointed out, a lot of the problems at agencies like the Transportation Security Agency, morale problems among airport screeners have to do with the way that people are managed, and the fact that there is there's very inconsistent management policy going on with how to deal with the rank and file members, not the least of which are other problems like recognition of collective bargaining rights that NTEU's been rattling the cage for a long time.
Well, we even saw that with the pay for performance system at DOD,
NSPS,
the National Security Personnel System. There wasn't the training invested to train managers about how to carry this system out.
That was pointed out in this hearing as well, Chris, that one of the major failings of NSPS was one of training supervisors in how to implement the program, and it created a lot of ill will, things that were never addressed long term, but a lot of misunderstanding in a lot of cases that ended up being the undoing of NSPS.
And you're out and about a bunch, so. I think one of the concerns that I would have is there's now so much hope resting on whatever proposal comes out of OPM next week.
Sure.
Almost impossible to match the kind of hope that people are putting on this.
Well, the proof will be in the pudding, I suppose, because a lot of people on the other side of the argument say that Director Berry and a lot of the people that he has working for him now at OPM have taken a fresh look at a lot of these issues that have been sort of creeping up upon us over the last several years. And the thought is new set of eyes, new set of priorities, maybe a push from the president will give them some impetus to help fix some of these things.
And most people say that if there's anybody who can do it, it's John Barry.
Oh, yes.
Because he has the energy and he knows, he's been there and he's seen it from both sides of Constitution, you know, Pennsylvania Avenue. He's seen it.
There are a lot of people who say that he's probably one of the most respected in this field of federal human capital management, just because, as you say, he's been in the field, he's been at agencies, he's been fairly successful at just about every agency and different administrations, both Republican and Democrat.
Yeah. Federal News Radio's Max Kakis. More tomorrow, Max?
More tomorrow on the Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Jane Norris and on federalnewsradio.com.